This is Mike Bartolomeo, pastor of Church for the Harvest in Alexandria, Minnesota. The Bible is the Word of God. Within its pages are revealed God's perfect will and plan for mankind, the answers to life's hardest questions, and instructions on how to live a victorious Christian life. I believe the following message can change your life if you will let it. Join us now as we share the Word of God today.
Father, we thank you for this morning. I humble myself before you and I ask that you speak through me to give to your people what they need. I receive the anointing and the grace of God to deliver your heart here this morning. And Lord, you are El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough, and you're able to speak to every individual. And so we just submit ourselves to you, Holy Spirit, and pray your kingdom come and your will be done in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. So this is the fourth week in our series. We've been talking about how God will provide for us and how he does that. And this will be the kind of conclusion of this series. We use the story of the talents. We talked about the talents, the story of the talents. Help me out here. Okay, thank you. And we talked about how the master gave three servants certain amounts. In the first two, regardless of the amount. Now watch this. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in little. Some shall little. You know, doing the work of the kingdom on this earth is little compared to heaven. Did you get that? That means the little we do down here, God has great things for us in heaven. We just need to be faithful in the little. Someone shout little. Amen? Little. So God wants us to be faithful. And we see the story goes on and tells about one individual that was given a talent but buried it. It means he sat on that talent. It means he really didn't believe and discover the purpose God had for him in his life. He just kind of went through life and meandered and just kind of whatever he took and whatever life threw at him. And he just kind of lived from emergency to emergency and never really mounted in his life, in their life, and did something that was impactful. Even though he only had one talent, he hid it and he buried it, and God had some negative words for him at the end, how he was a wicked servant. And so we don't want to be that. We want to be faithful. Some shall faithful with a little in this life that God has given us. So that was the story of the talents. And we said this, that God owns everything. Let me say that again. God owns everything. Really. I mean, I remember I had some property years ago with 20 acres, and I've shared this before, and I planted trees on and whatever. Then I sold that piece of property. You know what? The other guy rototilled all the trees in and planted a field. And I thought, my trees. They're not my trees no more. Why? We don't own anything. You say, oh, I got the title deed to my house. You have it until you sell it or you die. Amen? We don't own anything. So really, when you think about it, everything, God owns everything, but he asks us to manage it. He owns it. I manage it. He gives me things of which he requires of me. And this is where our responsibility comes in, to do what? The best job of managing of what God has given us. Can you say amen? So we said that God wants to provide for us. He wants to provide for us. I'm going to go very quickly through these first three points because we touched on them before, and I want to get to my last point here. But in 1 Kings 4:25, I was reading actually this morning about King Solomon, and that's where I'm at in my time of reading. And it says this about, when we talk about God wants to provide for you, there are many times in history where nations were blessed. The peoples of God were blessed, and they didn't have war. They didn't have the terrorism. God showed up in such a mighty way. He protected, and he was made his people safe, and he prospered them. God is not against your prosperity. He's not against it. 1 Kings 4:25 says, "In Israel dwelt safely every man under his vine and fig tree." You know what that speaks to me? Provision. Every man. And it goes on to say that, from Dan to Beersheba, it means the whole part of Israel, all of it, all of Solomon's days. So we had a righteous king, Solomon. He didn't do everything right, but he was a righteous man, had God's wisdom. And everyone that lived in that time, they were blessed, their vine and their fig tree, and that God had provision for everyone. So God wants to provide for you. But how does he do that? And we'll get into that here quickly. So we've used the Old Testament pattern, how God does that. He did it through the children of Israel, and how he'll do it for you. The first one we touched on, through the hand of man. We said this each week, that God provided through the hand of man. We know the story about Joseph, how he fed his brothers. And, you know, my wife and I have had the opportunity, the honor, let me say it that way, the honor to help people along the way that were in need. How many know what I'm talking about? Many of you have done that. Many of you have helped people. You've given a gift. You've blessed. You've brought food, groceries, or you helped them, get them trained in a profession, and you work with them. God sees that. God sees that, and he remembers. But that is God working through the hand of man. And we said this kind of, my wife and I were involved, and for the season of life that we're in, we were first married, we were involved with treatment foster care, and we've had anywhere from 15 to 20 kids in our home, and some of them were success stories, and some of them were not, but we did the best we could, but we felt honored that we could help others. How many hear what I'm trying to say? And God, you understand that because he has done that through your life. And we said this, that we should not depend upon any man. Because the moment we start depending upon that man, the truth of the matter is it is actually God that is providing for you through that man or woman or business or whatever. How many see that? Say amen. But the moment we start trusting in that person that they're our source, God will cut that off. He'll cut that off and we'll find ourselves in a situation. Oh, God, what's going on? Excuse me. How are we going to make it? Can I get an amen here? Why? Because he wants you to trust him. Amen. So we see through the hand of man, we talked about through the hand of God. The Bible says in Exodus 16 that God rained down manna from heaven and began to feed the children of Israel. And so here's the thing. If God could provide for hundreds of thousands of Israelites in the middle of a desert, he can surely provide for you and your family. Some of you don't believe that. You know, I remember I heard a funny story. We were in Ukraine one time. This is back in 2007. And we were on a men's mission trip, and one of the guys was saying a story about provision of God, and we were working on something or whatever. We were putting in a septic system, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it tells a story about a vehicle that went in the ditch, and they had another vehicle, but they needed to pull it out, and they didn't have a chain, and so they prayed. They said, God, help us. We need a chain. We need to get this vehicle out. And before long, a big truck came by that was full of chains. And one of them hit a bump, and the chain fell off, and like a snake, went right to the car. And someone, I know what you're thinking. He goes, well, that guy lost his chain. You know what? God is big enough to take care of that person to bless them with another chain. But God will provide for you. Amen? And so they had the chain right there as the truck drove on and pulled the car out. Just a simple little way of how the Lord can work in marvelous ways. How many see that? Say amen. There's a precious testimony of Scripture in Psalm 37:25. It says, I have been young. Now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. It's not only for you and your life and your present situation, but your kids and your kids' kids. Can I get an amen? Now, here's what's ironic, that even though God was supernaturally providing through his hand to the Israelites, they still complained and they grumbled in the desert. Supernatural provision, manna, and even when they cried out for meat, he gave them quail, and they had water out of the rock. I mean, they had everything that they needed, but they still complained. Why? Because they wanted the provision their own way. They wanted to go back to Egypt the way it was, and they didn't like their present circumstance. You know what? In a personal sense, I've had to learn this lesson over the years in my life. After Bible school, I thought, well, I've got my degree, and I'm going to go preach the gospel, be a traveling evangelist, and actually pastoring was the last on my list. That was the last thing I wanted to do. God, please don't call me a pastor. But I did have the opportunity to travel to over a dozen nations and preach the gospel. But at that time, when I got out of Bible school, everything was dried up. Nothing. No door open. And so, you know what? I actually had to go back to dry cleaning. Of all things. That was my profession. I was a spotter and knew the dry cleaning with working with the clothes and pressing and perchloroethylene. And to me, that was my Egypt. How many know what I mean by that? It was a place of, God, get me out of here. I think I'm going to lose my mind. I don't know if you've ever had a job like that. Some of you thinking, yeah, I'm in that job right now. I want out. But I complained. And you know what? God still provided for our family. Okay? In that situation that I didn't like, he still took care of us. You know, and maybe you're at a job and you're doing work different than what you expected or hoped for. Don't all walk around complaining, bemoaning. Everywhere you meet someone, hi, what's your name? My name's Mike. I hate what I'm doing. I hate this. I hate that. I've heard that with people. It's like, oh, okay. Your life is miserable with a capital M. Yeah. And so we don't want to be those people. Amen. And so don't grumble against God's supernatural provision. He does it in unexpected ways. Just trust him. He'll bring you to the place what he has for you. Be present. Give everything to your current job. Be thankful, as 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. That just doesn't mean that you can't study and grow yourself and move towards the job of your dreams, but that it might be a point in your life where it's going to inspire faith to stop complaining about God's present provision in your life at the current moment and invest yourself fully where you're at. Let me give an example of this. I took a job when I was 15 years old in West Bridgewater, Massachusetts, and I loved dirt bikes, and I loved being around them, and I wanted to work on them and do all that, so I got a job at a place called Betancourt's Honda, and it had Suzuki and Honda and Husqvarna. I mean, it was a bigger place there. It was a well-known motorcycle dirt bike shop, and it was kind of where the racers went, and so I was excited. I want to start right away on the front counter and doing parts, and they said, no, get upstairs in the storage area where all the parts are and straighten it out. I walked up that, it looked like a typhoon went through this place because none of these guys were organized. There's boxes with numbers and certain parts that's supposed to be in it, and there's thousands of them. And then they had a place where they cut the motorcycle chains, and there was pieces everywhere. The place was a dump. And I'm like, why? So I stayed up in that room for 3 weeks. I go in, you know, help bring the bikes out and go up in the parts room for 3 weeks saying, Lord, I know you got something greater for me. This, I'm just going to be like a cave troll up here. You know what I mean? And nobody knows who I am. They throw food up to me and I just eat. And I'm up there putting these, and nobody sees me. And I have a long beard. I'm going to die here. 3 weeks later, I had that place spotless. And everything was organized, new boxes written. Every piece of part was not on the floor. It was swept clean. The owner came up and went, grabbed his heart. He couldn't believe it. He was like, what happened up here? Get that kid down to parts. So I went down into sales, and then I was there on parts. And here's the thing. I was one of the best parts guys there. You know why? I knew where everything was at. we got a sprocket. I know where it's at, you know. And God used that. So don't bemoan the place where you're at right now, people. Amen? Because God will take you to something greater. He'll take you to something greater. Can you say amen? So I spent a little bit too much time on that. Through the hand of man, but through our own hand. We talked about this, that God will provide for you for your very own hand. Joshua said that the manna ceased. God was transitioning them in Joshua 5:12. Deuteronomy 11:9 says, God said, I am taking you into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. That's provision. That's blessing. Deuteronomy 11:12. This is the next verse says this, and we talked about this last week, that God was taking them out of that land of Egypt where you sowed your seed and you watered by foot or a foot pump as the vegetable for the vegetable garden. And we talked about how God was taking them off the foot pump where it's a struggle in life and you just eke out a living, just a little bit of water, just to provide for your little bit of plants, and you kind of live in hand to mouth, and God is saying, that's not going to be. I'm taking you to a place where it flows. Somebody shout flows. God is not against us being blessed and prosper if he knows that he has your heart and he has your money. Amen, Pastor Mike, preach. He's not. He's not against it because he knows he can get it through you. But if you just get it, you keep it, and you sit on it, it's not flowing through you. The Bible says this, and we ended with this last week in Psalm 90, verse 17. Let the favor, somebody shall favor, of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. God wants to establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Every single one of you has something, an ability. Some of you are stronger in craftsmanship. Some of you are stronger in other areas, and you have a tremendous mind, and God has blessed you with that. That is His favor on your life. But we need to be faithful where we're at. Can you say amen? Finally, God will provide for you through the hand of your enemy. So what, Pastor Mike? What do you mean by that? The hand of your enemy? I don't want anything from my enemy. No. Here's the thing. 12 of the spies, watch this now, went into the promised land. And how many know that 10 of them came back and what'd they say? We can't do it. We're not able. This isn't going to happen. We're just like grasshoppers in their sight. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and they said, our God's able. They had a different kind of spirit. So they looked at a natural situation with the majority. Usually it's the majority is the wrong way. Amen? These two said, I see things differently. We're able to do this. And this is what they say. They said, those giants are bread for us. Did you get that? Bread. What does it mean? It's food. They're just provision for us. And we'll come in and defeat the enemies of God, and they will be provision for us. And so Numbers 14:9 says that. One translation says, we'll gobble them right up. Another one says, we will eat them up like bread. What is God trying to say? God's saying that there will be times that even in your greatest fearful situation, you got things coming against you, and you think, I can't make it. God says, I'll even provide in this dangerous situation, and it may even be through the hand of your enemy, if you will trust him. Amazing. God will provide for us, even through our enemies. God is saying that our enemies are like bread for us, is food. What does it mean? God will feed you. He will provide for you through the hand of your enemy. You'll get to the place that you feed off the attacks of the enemy. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? How many know the enemy throws attacks at us constantly? Isn't that right? And instead of discouraging you, it makes you even more steadfast and determined to do the will of God. You know what that means? Like, bring it on, devil. All right, come on. You know, many Christians, they're afraid of the devil. And I've actually heard someone tell me this. And he said, well, if I leave the devil alone, he'll leave me alone. Not on your life. Amen? Not on your life. And there's a mindset up here in Minnesota. The mindset is just leave him alone. I won't, you know, say anything or do anything. He's going to leave me alone. That's not true. That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. So, listen, let me just say this. Satanic attack is actually a sign you have become a high-value target in the kingdom. Did you hear that? That's what that a satanic attack. When the enemy targets you, your church, your family, it's a sign that you're a high-value target to the enemy. Why? Because it means you have something worth attacking. Amen, Pastor Mike. You have something. So you feel you're in the midst of it. Things are not working out. Trust the Lord that the enemy sees that. Now watch this. When the enemy levels his attack against you, it means two things. It means you're valuable. Somebody shout valuable. To God in your assignment, you are valuable to God. It also means that the level of your blessing waiting for you when you get through this attack is beyond anything you can imagine. If you can believe that. Somebody say amen. And that's why the enemy is trying to stop you. That's why he wants to stop God's provision in your life. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, now he who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed for sowing, watch this, that is your resources, and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. Let me just break that down. This verse is telling us that God is saying that he will give you, now watch this, a supply of seed or seeds he will give you. Here's the thing. You can eat the seed. You can hold on to the seed. Or you can sow the seed. Should I say that again? You can eat the seed. You can hold on to the seed. Or you could sow the seed. He only multiplies the seed you sow. Amen, Pastor Mike. Well, I just don't see God's provision in my life. Are you hanging on to your seed? Amen? Are you sowing your seed? It's a principle that works. Amen? And so this is what happened. The Bible says God is going to increase our fruits of righteousness, and they're going to be enriched. And here's the thing. It's so important. It's more even in just finances. We're talking broader than that. It's everything in life. All right? Spiritual stuff, material stuff, all of that. When you sow, God is saying, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you liberally. And I'm going to take care of, I'm really, really, really going to take care of you. And it's going to cause us to have that provision, that supernatural provision in our life, to have praise and thanksgiving to God. Now watch this. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says this. You will be enriched in every way. Somebody shout every way. So that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Somebody say amen. You know, if that wasn't enough, then as I sowed, God multiplies the seed that is sown. He not only provides for me, the Bible says, tremendously, this verse is speaking, he takes care of others, he causes them to be free, and them to be blessed, and them to be fed for a season until God, what, can get them into the land that's flowing, and they have a huge thanksgiving in their heart to God because of what you did. That's what it's saying. Because of what you did. How many know that's a beautiful exchange? A beautiful exchange. You say, what do you mean? That exchange is, I take what I have in my hand and I release it to God. And God multiplies that seed that I sow. How many have ever planted something in your life? Let me just see your hand. You've ever planted something. If I take one kernel of corn, one, and I plant it, and I make sure it's watered. How many know that when it produces more than one kernel? Yeah. Amen? It produces thousands. That's what God wants to get us across, and he wants you to trust him. Even though it may seem like it's a small amount, if you're faithful in little, God will say, I will super abundantly multiply you. I will take care of you. What does that mean? Taking care of you. He'll bless you. He'll help you with your home. He'll help you in catastrophic situations. And you got car issues or whatever. God will take care of you. He'll watch over you because he knows that is a faithful servant there. They're faithful with a little. They will be blessed with much. Stand with me if you would, please. Hallelujah. Worship team, you come forward and kind of start, I'm going to end here with our summary, which you talked about in this series, that God owns everything, church. He owns everything. You know, I heard a story of an individual that he worked in, he was a sales rep in dry cleaning, and I shared this before, but he was an atheist, and I'd share the gospel with him. He'd argue. And I want to go to hell with my buddies. That's where it's going to be fun. I'm like, oh, my God, you have no idea what you're talking about. And he would just argue, banter back and forth. We made a lot of money, in sales. And I said, listen, you're under the kingdom of darkness. You need Christ in your life. I don't believe all that. But he was, for years, a sales rep would come through dry cleaning and order hangers or whatever we needed, perk and supplies and chemicals, and he was good at what he did. He goes, I'm going to be retiring in a few years. And so finally he came to a point of retiring. He said, I'm going to Florida, and I'm living the rest of my life for myself. I was like, man, you need to get right with God. He goes to Florida, all his money. In 2 weeks, he walks across the street, and he's killed. God owns everything. Amen? Think you got your life. You think, I'm going to be different because I'm going to protect everything and I'm going to really be secure. God owns everything. I'm not saying God killed him. I think the enemy took him out. He's a fool. He lived the life as a fool. Had a lot of money. A lot of money in the bank. But he lived as a fool. That's what not God has called us to. Can you say amen? If we take the steps of faith, as the offering message was shared, so pertinent, that we test him now, I just want to challenge you. God will provide for you. There are different ways that he provides for us. But he only blesses seed that is sown. Every head bowed, please. You're here this morning. You don't know the Lord. You're not right with God. You say, well, I come to church. Maybe you're visiting the first time. We welcome you. But most importantly, God forbid that if you were to leave the service, even as a young person, a kid, teenager, maybe an older couple, and you say, you know what, I've always thought I was a Christian, or I hope when I die I go to heaven. And God says these things are written in His Word that you may know you have eternal life. So if you don't have that absolute I know, today is a great day. It's a great, tremendous day for you to know you have eternal life. You say, how do I do that? What do I do? The Bible says that you receive Christ in your life. You welcome Him in. You're not joining this church, but you are joining the family of God. You're saying, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came, you died, you rose, and I invite you into my life. If you would like to do that here this morning, take a moment as we pray corporately as a church. Maybe you're watching by television. You've never accepted Christ. You believe in God, but you've never welcomed Him in and been converted and saved. This is the time to do this. Say this to me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I give you my life. Now take it. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today in the ministry of God's Word. My prayer today is that you will experience a new revelation of who Christ is in you. Feel free to make as many copies of this message as you like. For more information about Church for the Harvest scheduled ministry times and meeting place, please visit us at churchfortheharvest.com or contact the church office at 320-759-1400. At Church for the Harvest, you belong.